get the benefits of being in America without being a part of America. And I don't want to get political. There's a lot we can talk about there. That's not what I'm doing. But they enjoy the benefits of being a part of our country without making any kind of efforts toward our country. Actually, there are those who were born in this country who are citizens of the country, and their families have been citizens of this country, who enjoy all the benefits of being a part of this country and don't put much effort toward the country. And then there are those who lay aside the freedoms and their dreams and their plans and their families and all the other things that they do to serve and suffer and sacrifice to make sure our country stays the country that it is, that it has always been. And we'll look this weekend and remind ourselves of many of those who lost their lives because of that. Now, I understand that there was a draft at some point, and some people were taken over to fight in for the country without necessarily signing on the dotted line. But still, once you get plugged in with the armed forces, you get a desire to see that our country and the hope and the dream and the liberty and everything that is fought for, you usually step up and be a part of what's going on. What would it be like if everybody in our country was one of those people? Meaning, didn't care, didn't want to put anything into the country, didn't have any desire to do that at all. All they wanted to do was what they can get out of it. Could you imagine if every citizen in the country was like that? Or could you imagine if every citizen in the country was that who wasn't looking out for what they could get out of it, but willing to lay their lives down to make sure that our country thrives and survives in what it has been? Well, I got to change that and make you think something different here this morning. I have a PowerPoint back there. I don't know if the guys are ready to run that yet, but you know, there's a lot of people who call themselves Christians who are sort of in the same boat. They enjoy what they think Christianity might actually mean, and they don't mind calling themselves that, but they don't put a whole lot of effort at all into the Christian faith and serving and suffering and sacrificing for the faith. But there are those who will lay down everything and their entire life is dedicated to making sure that the gospel of Jesus Christ and the growth of God's family here in this world is the most important thing in their lives. And it makes me wonder, what would God's church look like if every Christian were like some of those Christians out there? What would God's church look like if every Christian was one of those who was willing to sacrifice everything to make sure that the gospel and God's work? Now, let me ask her, curl your toes up. Okay, curl them up, unless you wore your steel-toed boots today. What would Christianity look like if every Christian was like you or like me? Makes us think, doesn't it? As much as on a day like today, we would love to honor the Americans who fell for our freedom and laid their lives down because of something they believed in and it was important to them, we can do the same thing with brothers and sisters in Christ and honor and bring ourselves a great amount of peace and joy knowing that so many for our faith have stood up, sacrificed, suffered, and some of them even died so that we would have the Christianity that we know today. Well, today we're going to look at the idea that there is a cost to discipleship. I have no idea what I did. All right. There's a cost of being a disciple. Now, I set you up. I warned you I was setting you up. I picked the songs that said, take my life and let it be. Take my voice, take my feet, take my intellect, take my lips. There's a cost to being a disciple. Now here's the thing that we don't always think of, but I want it to be laid out very clearly because it's a truth and a reality we've got to get a grip on as Christians. Next part of this slide. Every disciple is a Christian, or is a believer is a Christian, but not every believer is a disciple. Does that make sense to you? I wanted to read again. Every disciple is a believer, but not every believer is a disciple. And that's something that is convoluted sometimes in Christianity. Meaning they think just because they ask Jesus to be their Savior and their sins are forgiven and they're no longer going to hell, that they're a full-blown, honest, committed disciple of Christ. And that is not true. And so many people have used this word as a Christian colloquialism, you know, to the point where, I'm not a Christian, you know, because Christian is an old-fashioned word. They don't want to use it anymore. I'm not a Christian. I'm a disciple of Jesus. Well, you know how many times, we'll look at a few of them this morning, that Jesus said, if you don't do this, you are not my disciple. If you don't do this, you cannot be my disciple. Jesus is real clear saying that discipleship and being a disciple of Jesus has some serious things attached to it. He says, listen, if you're going to do this, you're not my disciple. If you're not going to do that, don't expect to be my disciple. He put some qualifiers on there, seriously. There's a cost. Just because someone has asked Jesus to be their Savior and committed their lives to Him as Savior does not mean they've committed their lives to Him as Lord. And we need to understand that today because it's a commitment you and I need to evaluate. Now, as much as I know, I see it in some eyes and I watch the news and it gets my dander up too all right, for lack of a better word, freeloaders that come into our country and you and I are paying an amazing amount of taxes so that people can sit around and do absolutely nothing. And how frustrated we get with that, right? That how many people, you know, our tax rates are this much so that 51% of our nation doesn't even have to do anything, that they live off the system. And we get bothered by that. But you know what? I think we ought to be ready to be bothered by that in Christianity. There's old stats and, you know, who knows exactly which ones are true anymore. But they used to say that 10% of the people are doing 90% of the work and 90% of the people are doing 10% of the work in Christianity. And we get mad at freeloaders who are parking themselves and living off the social systems that we have in our country. Guys, just because you have called on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior doesn't mean you are a disciple of Jesus. Okay, next part of this slide. A disciple is meaning a learner, learning the Word of God. Now, I want to stop for a minute. Well, it's here, and remind ourselves. Being a learner in the Scripture, and we understand that in our own world today, doesn't mean you're just putting the knowledge of certain information in your head that you can recall. Right? That's what we begin to think that it is. But is somebody really a learner if they don't put into practice the things that they've learned? Okay, if all of a sudden I say, well, yeah, you know, I know what I should do, but I don't do it. Well, you're not really a disciple or a learner. It's not just putting knowledge into our brain that we can recall. Yeah, I can quote the verses. I've been to church my whole life. I know, you know, you talk to me about baptism. I can tell you all about it. Well, are you doing anything about it? Learning is not just being able to recall information. It is changing our lives and adjusting ourselves to the things that God is showing us, right? We look at what we got here. Being a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, that's what we're talking about. Being a disciple is someone... I didn't because there were so many times, but you know what? When Jesus said to Peter and James and John and Matthew and all those guys, follow me, that they left their nets, they left their boats, they left the table where they were counting taxes and got up and followed him and never went back. Unless, we see when they were in a backslidden state, Peter's back fishing again. And Jesus says, "You love me? Then what are you doing? Feed my sheep." There's a cost to discipleship, to being a disciple. Next slide. A believer and a disciple are not the same thing. Okay? There are many times in the scripture where Jesus points this out. We'll look at a few of them today. But a couple verses here. I got it written down here in front of me, so I don't have to keep turning around. You see in my more attractive side, the back of my head. Okay. But he said, yea, rather, blessed are they that hear my word and keep it. How many Christians sit right now across our country, somewhere in a church, listening to the word of God, hearing it, and then are going to walk out the door and have no desire and no effort to keep it? Now, please, when we talk about this, I'm not necessarily aiming, putting bullseye on all of us, but I'm talking about we live in a system of Christianity that could use some brothers and sisters in Christ who know what the Word of God says and encourage one another. I sing with the Cheshiremen. I enjoy it, barbershop group. And some of those fellas attend church. And they're glad to tell you they attend church. But I see some of the things that they're doing, and I'll tell you one thing. They may be hearing something in church, but they're not keeping it when they're not in church. There ought to be a chance we're keeping it. Blessed are they, the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they to keep his testimonies and seek him with a whole heart. There's a difference between just knowing God and doing what God has asked you to do. Next slide. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he, being not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deeds. I found it interesting when we were just talking about the liberties that you and I have. We're blessed when we do what Jesus has told us. Keep going. Next slide. It says, John, real simple verses from Jesus. If you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. Okay? If you love me, keep my commandments. Okay? Ye are my friends if you do the things that I've commanded you. Now, it's sad to say, but so much of Christianity is giving this idea that it's all about just loving one another. That you could be in violation of God's word in your life, but I shouldn't say anything because we just love each other. Well, my Bible says over and over in Jesus' admonishment here is do what I've told you to do. Well, Jesus was a, you know, I heard a quote on the news yesterday that Jesus was a socialist. You know, the stuff that people will throw out there thinking about Jesus. Listen, it is not what we consider, it's what the Bible says. Jesus says, you want to show love if you love me, if you consider yourself my friend, you got to do the things that I've told you to do. There's a cost. You know, just, oh, I'm a Christian, ooh, everything's, yeah. Listen, as much as we get frustrated with people who are freeloading, we don't need freeloading Christians either. If you're going to call yourself a Christian, maybe you ought to act like Christ. Okay? And again, please, this is not heavy, but I want to encourage us. We'll look at a verse in the Bible at the end to give us a reminder. Okay, it will cost you everything. Next slide. It will cost you everything. Yay. Hey, sonny. Come on. Listen, and we look at that and go, oh, no. I don't like the sound of that. Guys, we just talk about it. We're so proud, and we'll wave banners and put flowers and flags at the cemeteries and have parades for people who said, I will give up everything to fight for my country. But when we talk about giving up everything to serve the Lord Jesus Christ, we go, oh, he can't actually mean everything, can he? Come on. And there went great multitudes with him, and he turned and said unto them, if any man come unto me and hate not his father and his mother and his wife and his children and his brethren and his sisters, yea, his own life also, he can what? Not be my disciple. Remember we said, just because you're a Christian doesn't make you a disciple? See what Jesus is saying here? Now some of you, I know, especially mom, grandmom type, when we talk about turning your back on your family for the Lord Jesus, everybody says, oh, I couldn't dare do that. And I know some of you. I know some of you struggle with the idea that family is more important. But do you believe the Bible? What does it say here in Luke 14 we just read? If you're going to come to me and serve me, you've got to have the right opinion of where your family fits into this system. But, hey, listen. Come on, this is the perfect day for it, and I'm going to keep reminding you. We are all extremely proud and give honor and consider it a great sacrifice when men and women leave their family behind to go serve and sacrifice their selves to die for the freedoms that we hold so dear. We consider that a great honor. But when the Christ asks for it, we go, whoa, wait a minute. He can't possibly mean that. Of course he means that. If you're going to be his disciple, his follower, a learner of Jesus, he becomes the most important thing. Now, so I don't think possibly I could hate my family. You know what he's doing here when God says this. It's a comparison. The love that God has given you for him should so pale to any other relationship that it makes it seem as if it's hate. Now, my mom used to tell me all the time, don't say you hate, because if you hate, that means you're willing to kill something. Come on, you ever, moms? Hate means you're ready to kill something. Well, according to my Bible, I'm supposed to be dead, aren't I? Everything else takes a back seat. Verse 33 says, likewise, whoso he be of you that forsaketh not some of what he hath. That what it says there? Did I write that right? What's this little three-letter word right there? All. I'm actually tall enough I can put my finger up to that. If he forsake all of what he hath, he cannot be my disciple. So let me ask you. You know anybody in your life that calls himself a Christian who wants to say they're a disciple of Jesus who doesn't qualify for that? Maybe it's you. Maybe it's me. We in America, I'm telling you, we got to this point where we've gotten cushy and we talk about prosperity gospel and we talk about all the wonderful things we ought to have. What's mine is me and me and my... Listen, the Bible says if you don't hate even your own life, if you don't have given all up for the Lord Jesus Christ, you can't be his disciple. Now, does that mean we're supposed to live like paupers and, you know, find a log in the woods to hide under? And that's no, you know our God blesses us. We cannot outgive him. But what is important to you? Next slide. So here are some things I want us to just look at. A few things that if you're going to be a disciple of Jesus Christ are a must in your life. Not a Christian. Okay, the only thing you need to be a Christian is faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But if you're going to be a disciple, a follower of Jesus, there's some things that got to be a part of your life. You must submit to the Lord Jesus Christ. We love this verse. Ian and I, this one you fall back on easy. You want to know why we're here? He gives us a conclusion to the matter. Fear God and keep his commandments. That is the whole duty of man. You want to know why you're here? You're here to submit to a God and give him reverence and have a little bit of shaking in your boots. And you're supposed to keep his commandments. We talked about this morning, Dan referenced it in Sunday school, when we were praying downstairs. You know, the older you get and the more mature you get in the Lord, the less and less you have an opinion of yourself. The more you stand in the light of a holy God, the less and less you feel important. And how many times we see God's people, when God reveals himself to them, they fall down on their faces as dead men. Fear God, keep his commandments. Psalm 111:10, you see it up on the screen behind me. For the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and good understanding have all they that do his commandments. Pastor, you know, I've been a Christian for, you know, a few years now, and I can't understand God's word. I'll never understand it like some of these guys that on the TV, or, you know, it just seems like it's not. You read that verse with me? It says understanding and wisdom is going to come with two things attached to it. One, you fear God, and you do what you're reading in the Bible. You don't do those things, and people say, I've been a Christian, I read the Bible, it makes no sense to me. Well, you know what? I can kind of draw a conclusion from that, and it's not my own conclusion, it's what the Bible says. Fear God and keep his commandments. If you do those two things, you'd understand his word a little better. Did you read this verse with me? Am I making it up? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So there's the beginning of it. And you get good understanding when you do what it says. Now, again, do you feel like I'm picking on you? Don't feel that way. If the Holy Spirit's talking to you, that's fine. But this isn't necessarily directed at us. This is for us. Because I'll tell you one thing, I guarantee you, you and I know some other believers who might be able to get some encouragement from you and I. That if somebody comes up to you and says, I just can't understand the Bible. Well, maybe it's because you're not living what it says. Okay, next slide. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Deuteronomy here, chapter 4. Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me, that ye should do, that you should do so in the land whither ye shall go to possess it. Keep therefore and do them. For this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of all nations, which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. Because not only have we been given the word of God, but we're doing it. We're keeping it. You must submit to the Lord Jesus Christ if you're going to be a disciple. You've got to do what he tells you to do. Next slide. You also must obey the word. You submit to his commandments and his authority, but you got to obey. Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? I can't imagine this. I'm just thinking. Here's Jesus there with a bunch of people, the disciples and all those who are following him, and they're giving him honor and recognizing and even submitting to him, and they're honoring him by calling him Lord. And he says, guys, why do you call me Lord? What is a Lord? It's often defined in the scripture as master, correct? Well, why would you say I'm your master if you're not doing what I tell you? Does that make any sense? You're the boss. Don't listen to him. You're the boss. I'm not going to do what he tells me. You're in charge. Not in my life. Come on, as silly as those things sound, Jesus says, why are you calling me Lord if you're not doing the things that I tell you? I'm not your Lord. Whosoever cometh unto me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man who buildeth his house and diggeth it deep and laid a foundation on a rock. And when the floods arose and the streams beat vehemently upon the house and could not shake it, for it was founded on a rock. We sing that song, don't we? The foolish man built his house upon the sand. Now, listen, and I know in my brain for years, yeah, if you ask Jesus to be your Savior, you've put your house upon the rock. That's not what it says, does it? He says, if you hear my sayings as Lord and you do those things, that's when you're putting your house upon the rock. You ever see a Christian and somebody comes to you, maybe you and I in our earlier walk with the Lord or even now? I've asked Jesus, but my life is just a mess. Everything's falling all around me. I don't understand what's going on. Well, maybe it's because you're not doing his commandments and you've put your house on the sand. Because it doesn't say here those who are saved build their house upon the rock. It says those who do the things that I've told you, they put their house on the rock. I mean, I'm a construction guy. Okay? They have codes for a good reason, to make the inspectors rich. Some of y'all get that. It'd take a minute. Okay. No, they have codes. We do things a certain way because over the years we've learned this is the best way to build something. Okay, you put a good deep foundation so that you don't have any problems with your house later. Now, I've seen both sides of it. People who do overkill, well, I'm going to do more than the inspectors tell me to do because I want this thing to be a castle. And then I've worked some guys who say, forget that. I'm just, you know, let's just bury it. Nobody will see it. And they pay for it later on. If you do what is expected and what you're told to do, you have a good solid foundation. I mean, it's common sense. Jesus says it here. Verse, next slide says, but he that heareth and doeth not is like a man without a foundation, built a house upon the earth, against which the stream did vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. Now, let me ask you a question again. Are we talking about someone who is an unbeliever here? No. We're talking about someone who has come to him and called him Lord. That you can be a believer and your house can still be a disaster. Because you're not doing what he told you to. Just because you've put your faith and trust in Jesus does not make you a disciple or a follower of him. There's a cost. You must be faithful, next slide, to the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a lot we can go. We can step off at a whole different sermon here. And part of what I was doing this morning with the greeting time and checking up on each other is because this was in my heart. Do you know how many times I look around at my friends and family in the Lord that I've known for years, and people who I thought were the concrete, solid posts are no longer serving God? That I would look around and go, oh, you know, you asked me 10 years ago, I would say, oh no, man, they'll die for their Christianity. I know them! And now they're not even attending church. They're not even doing anything for the Lord. They have no desire at all to do service. God needs us to be faithful. Just because you and I say something in the Lord today and stand up with a little bit of a backbone doesn't do us any good if next week we're jelly. He needs some faithful people. Some people who are going to stick with it. Not collapse. Where Paul says, listen, I fought a good fight. Finished my course. I've kept the faith. Not waver. Now encourage one another. And again, I'm telling you, we are desiring to be examples of Christ in this world. Here in Surrey, here in Keene, in New Hampshire. It may be you, it may be me, it may be somebody outside our church who you and I know and we can see that their faith is wavering. Step up. Amen? Help them. 2 Timothy, one of my favorite discipleship verses. 1 through 3. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men. To what kind of men? Ha ha ha. Faithful men. Now, so often when we get to this verse, we talk about discipleship and say, see, the things that you learn, you're supposed to commit to others, that they'll teach others also. It says other faithful men. You know, Jesus warned not to cast your pearls before swine. That there's some folks that it's not even worth the time of day trying to help them because they're not listening. They don't want to do what Jesus has said. He says, I want you to commit the things that you've learned from me to faithful men, faithful women, those who you know are going to continue it on. You ever have a kid in your family or know somebody who has a kid and, you know, maybe have three or four kids and you go, yeah, Joey's doing good, Dave's doing up, Billy. Well, Billy either is going to be living in the woods or in jail. Because you can just see there's certain folks that you know right at this point in their life, I'm worried about that boy. You know what I'm talking about. Well, there's Christians that way too. You look across and say, man, this one's firing on all pistons. This one's growing, wanting to, that one. Well, God says, I want you to commit to faithful men that they may be able to teach others also. Thou, therefore, endureth hardness as a good soldier, Jesus Christ. What an interesting context. He says, you know the things you've learned of me? Be strong. I want you to do all that stuff you learned from me. And I want you to teach that to faithful men. Why? And it's going to make me like you're enduring as a good soldier. Listen, I want somebody, not to trip over cords. I want somebody who knows how to handle a weapon in the foxhole with me. Don't you? Okay, silly. It's the NBA finals are on, so go Celts. They're still in it. Woo. Basketball. If I'm looking around and we're picking a sandlot team or out on the court and we're choosing teams and I'm a captain, my buddy's a captain, and he's picking tall guys who are dribbling between their legs and dunking, and I look over there and say, hey, you ever play basketball before? Nope. All right, you're on my team. All right, you over there playing in the sandbox. Come on. I want to pick people who know what they're doing, right? Come on, honestly. As much as when God's word, he is so common sense. He says, if you're going to commit things to people, make sure you commit it to those who are going to be knowing what they're doing. Be part of the team. Proverbs. Most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find. God, if you and I are going to be his disciples, we got to be faithful. And they're few and far between. Who can find a faithful? And I threw this one in for extra credit. Next verse. Finally, brethren, I hope you think this way. I've trained myself. It's hard. It's hard. And I'm going to step on a couple of toes. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things, and those things which thou hast both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do those things, and the God of peace be with you. I'm going to let the grumpy old man come out here for a minute. Maybe not so grumpy. But, oh, you're just so old-fashioned. Yeah, I said that too when I was younger. And maybe younger in the faith. You know, the Bible's serious when it says, those things that are pure and honest and lovely and of good report, think on these things. You know how many people, how many Christians fill their brains with things that aren't lovely, that aren't pure, that aren't faithful? And I love you. But man, every new horror movie that comes out, I'm going to go see it. You can if you want. But it's hard to pour that through the filter of this verse, isn't it? Well, you know, this rock group's in town, and, you know, it really doesn't affect my Christianity. If I go, I'm still saved. But pour it through the filter of, whatsoever things are honest, just, pure, lovely, of good report, if there be any virtue. I'm not telling you what to do, but I am telling you God's word does have an opinion. That if you want to be a faithful person, well, you know, Sundays I'm a good guy. But Saturday night, the things that I was doing, I don't know if I can consider just and pure and faithful and lovely. Not that I'm sinning, but what am I filling my brain with? What am I thinking on? Well, but pastor, I'm sorry. I'm there with you guys. I'm there with you. Man, I flip. You know I love watching TV. And there's a couple of new shows that they're introducing. And I was amazed at the language I was hearing just in the trailer for it on a commercial. There's this new show out there. And I won't even name it because I don't want to glorify it at all. But they spoke of the hind end of somebody right out on TV. And I'm like, wait a minute, that word used not to be allowed on TV. We're getting to a point where we're getting so callous to things that are impure and unjust and not lovely that we're filling our brains with all that. Be careful. It does matter. Remember, the old question is not, why shouldn't I do it? The better question is, why should I? Come on, just... If you're going to be a disciple of Jesus, it's going to cost you. But I like doing those things. It's going to cost you. Next slide. You must forsake all and follow Jesus. He must be first. Look at this verse in Colossians. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. You know that word means preeminent? It means he's first. If you and I are going to be a disciple of Jesus, he's got to be first. Next one. More than family. Boy, that must have been so hard for Jesus' mother and his brothers. You know the story. Jesus is in teaching, and his mother and his brothers show up at the door, and the crowd says, "Hey, Jesus," and we pick it up here. They said, your mom and your brothers are here. They're right outside. Now, what will you think would the normal person do? Hey, all right, mom, daddy, mom, you're here. Come on in. Yeah, just gonna step up. Yeah, well, great to have my family here with me today. And he answered and said unto them that told him, "Who is my mother? And who are my brethren?" And he stretched forth his hand toward his disciples and said, "Behold my mother and my brethren. For whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother and my sister," or my sister and mother. She said, you know who's closer family to me than blood? Those who have decided to dedicate their lives to serving God. Now, I love you again, but sometimes we don't grasp this. That this group of people that God has put you in, that has decided to dedicate themselves to serving the Lord, is more important to Jesus than his blood relatives. Now, all look at me, right up here. Because I know some of you are looking down, looking this way, because we don't believe that, do we? We honestly don't. I know it, some of you, but they're my kids. If they're not believers, they're not as important to Jesus as those who are believers and following his will. Did you read that with me, or did I make that verse up? Anybody got a real Bible you want to flip in so it's not just in PowerPoint and see that it's really there? Come on, folks. If you're going to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, you've got to realize the most important group of people in your life are those who are also disciples of Jesus Christ. Period. Now, is family important? Absolutely. But on a scale, we said it a few minutes ago, if you don't hate your father, your mother, your sister, your brother... Jesus says, listen, I love my family, that's great, but you know who was my mom, who's my family, who's my brothers and my sisters? It's you guys who are doing the will of the Lord. There's a cost to being a disciple, and it might just mean, I didn't put this verse in here, but you remember Jesus said, I didn't come to bring unity, but I came to separate mother from daughter, father from son. Not that Jesus wants to be a homewrecker, but he realizes if you are going to make a serious commitment for the Lord Jesus Christ and others aren't, that there's going to be a division it's going to cost. Okay? More than friends. Next slide. Put a couple of verses. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but the companion of fools shall be destroyed. I like putting it the other way. Just go hang out with some wise guys. Iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. Make sure you choose wisely. We can talk about this. The Lord, so many times, even in Psalms, remember when we were looking at Psalm 119? The Bible warned us, if you surround yourself with people who are not serving God, you're going to be in trouble. You need to surround yourself with people. We talked about a couple weeks ago. Mark them that live as an example. Mark them that follow the Lord the way we follow the Lord. Those are the kind of folks you want to put in your life. If you are with someone who is drawing you away from the Lord, it's going to be hard to be a disciple of Jesus. More than friends, more than possessions. Next slide. For which of you intendeth to build a tower, sitteth not down first, and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it, lest happily after he has laid the foundation, he's not able to finish it. All that beheld it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish it. Next slide. Or what king, going to make war against another king, sitteth down first and consulteth whether he is able with 10,000 to meet them that cometh against him with 20,000. Or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth ambassage and desire conditions of peace. Verse 33. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, thank you, all that he hath cannot be my disciple. There's a cost. And Jesus gives two great examples here. If you're going to do something serious, you're going to count the cost. You're going to do some figuring. You're going to do some planning. And if you're not willing to give it up, what does he say at the very end? You cannot be my disciple. Now, what's the premise that we started out with? All disciples are believers, but not all believers are disciples. Because there are some people who have called on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ who are not willing to lay all of it aside. 1 Timothy 6:11. Next slide. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world, and certainly we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. But they that would be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which draw men into destruction and perdition. Keep going. Next slide. For the love of money is the root of all evil, for which some covet after, have erred from the faith, and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things, follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. How many of us, and it's not me, I'll be honest, how many of us would be content with just food and clothes? Not even a roof over your head. Now you say, absolutely, sure I would be. Really? Because I know, just even my house, we want things a certain way, and we want furniture a certain way, and pictures a certain way, and things like that. Sometimes we make a big deal out of stuff that really shouldn't matter a whole lot, should it? What should matter is righteousness, godliness, patience, love. Those are the signs of a disciple of Jesus. And he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not of the abundance of things which he possesses. Next slide. Jesus, beholding him, young man comes to Jesus, wants to serve him, wants to dedicate his life to him, but can't give up his stuff. Jesus, beholding, loved him and said unto him, one thing thou lackest, go thy way and sell whatsoever thou hast and give it to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come and take up the cross and follow me. And he was sad at that saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. And Jesus looked around and saith unto the disciples, how hardly shall they that have riches enter the kingdom of God? There's a cost. Jesus said, you know what? Get rid of all your stuff. Bear your cross and come be my disciple. Follow me. Be a follower. And he couldn't do it. He wasn't ready for the cost. Next one. Man, we're running out of time already. You must suffer for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now it gets real good. Whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me, what's the phrase? Cannot be my disciple. Okay. All right. Wait. When we were talking about submitting to the Lord, I'm good with that. When we were talking about obeying the word of God and being faithful, you know, and even making sure that I forsake everything, all these possessions in my life. You know, I'm good with all that, Lord. That's great. But if I don't suffer, I can't be a disciple either. Did I make it up? Whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. And a certain scribe came and said unto him, Master, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, Foxes have holes and birds have their nests, but the Son of Man hath nowhere to lay his head. Now, we could have put that verse back into the possessions. But Jesus is basically saying, listen, I don't even have a bed to sleep in. I don't even have a hole in the ground to go call my own. If you're going to do what you're saying and follow me, that might just mean you're going to have to suffer through some serious lack of accommodations in your life. I don't want you to read more into it. You know what God's talking to you about. I don't have to tell you. But you and I will have some hard times. Next slide. 2 Timothy 3:12. Guys, on Wednesday night, we talked about this. Yea, all that will live godly in Christ shall suffer persecution. Peter said, Beloved, think it not strange concerning fiery trials, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. But rejoice in so much that ye are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye shall be glad also with exceeding joy. Don't think it's weird. Don't think it's strange. Don't think something's wrong if you're going through some trials. To be a disciple of Jesus, you cannot be a disciple unless you're going to suffer for him. Acts chapter 14, verse 22, next slide. Confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. Pastor, what are you telling me? The world hated Jesus, right? And it says the world's going to hate us because of that, right? If we stand up for our faith and do what we're supposed to, there's going to be people that don't like it, right? Besides all that, the devil is against us and he doesn't want us to serve. We are going to suffer. That's the cost of being a disciple of Jesus. Don't you just love when we paint a rosy picture? Next slide, you must bear fruit. I hate this one because I know a lot of us. Man, I've tried to lead people to the Lord, and it just seems like it never works out. I'm such a failure. No, you're spreading the gospel. God brings forth the fruit. But you and I need to try. But here it says, Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciple. You want to be a disciple? You're going to bear fruit. Right? God's glorified when you and I bear fruit. And that's how we prove we're his disciple. So shall ye be my disciple. When you bear fruit. Hard to imagine that somebody can be saved for 35 years and never have borne fruit. Now, please, I want to give you a little nudge here. Bearing fruit does not only mean you led someone to the Lord. There are more fruit-bearing things in the Scripture than that. There's no surprise that God said, this is the fruit of the Spirit. Okay, there is fruit that comes in our lives more than just leading somebody to the Lord. There should be changes in us, right? Because we're doing the Word like we talked about. Next slide. You must love the believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. Some of us aren't so easy to love. I know that. Sometimes I'm not so easy to love. I'll admit it. But look what it says here. A new commandment give I unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if ye have love one toward another. How are people going to know we're disciples of Jesus? If we love one another, right? Now contrast that. I want you to think. If you don't hate your father, your mother, your sister, your brother, as a matter of fact, who are my brother and sister, those real relatives outside the door? You guys that are serving and doing the will of God, you're my brothers and sisters. He says, you know how people are going to show, not that you're just a believer, but that you are my disciple, is you have love one for another. Part of that is understanding this leaving a legacy, this discipling one another, this helping someone be born again and watching them grow from a child, to from little children to children, to young men, to fathers, to ages, all the way up. It's part of the whole system that God's designed. Next slide. 1 John 3:16. Hereby perceive we the love of God, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Other believers. Philippians, let nothing be done in strife and vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other. And I love that. Every time I read this now, I'll never forget this. Put this in your brain. It does not say each esteem others better than themselves. Because I could ask you, do you love others more than yourself? Absolutely, yeah. You know, I look at other people, I love them. No, it says other, meaning an individual. I'll tell you, well, there's some people I walk up to that I go, oh, I don't want to love you. I want to just pop you. That means I am supposed to esteem every other person better than my own self. It's easy to say, oh yeah, others. I can do that. Jesus first, others second, you next. But it says other. Meaning each, every person I run into, I should esteem them. Look not on every man his own thing, but every man also on the things of others. And in Romans 12:10, last verse for today. Be kindly affectionate one toward another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. Now get that for a minute. Who am I supposed to prefer? One another, right? We're talking about believers. So if I wouldn't have read that ahead of time and I would have just started out the conversation and I would have said, who do you guys prefer to be with? Name somebody you like to be hanging around with. Your husband, all right. Some other people, you know, those guys down at the bowling alley or my softball team or my Cheshireman guys. And, you know, listen. Preferring one another. We should have a preference to be with God's people more than anybody else. Now, that doesn't mean stay away from all those other folks. We need to be out there in the world living our faith in front of people. But preferring, who do you prefer? So last slide and we're done. First off, again, I recognize most of you, so I think I know the answer to this question, but are you a believer? The first and most important part of this, because every disciple has to be a believer. You know the next question, though. Go ahead. Are you a disciple? Now, understand that the majority of these that are written here, it said, you cannot be my disciple unless this is part of your life. Are you submitting to the Lord? Are you obeying his word? Are you forsaking all things? Are you ready to suffer for him? Are you bearing fruit? Are you loving the brethren? All those things that said, if you don't do them, you cannot be my disciple. So that's an encouragement for us here. Now, many of us, all these things are a part of our lives. But do you expect that you might be having an influence on some other Christians that may not be a part of our church? That you may have the opportunity to disciple someone else and you they're following you in your faith? Well, these things are important. We need to encourage one another. Last one. Are you faithful? And I put that last because, you know, all these things, we may be able to give a great thumbs up this morning, right? Yeah, Pastor, every one of those parts are a part of my life. Are they going to be a part of your life next week? Next month? Next year? 5, 6, 10 years from now? And I'm not saying it could be me. We have a responsibility toward one another in the faith, in this leaving a legacy, in this being a family of God, in this preferring one another. And you're my brothers, you're my sisters, you're my mom, you're my dad. This family relationship that God has designed spiritually in the faith is of utmost importance. Don't let it slip by. And if somebody happens to be an empty pew for a couple of weeks, give them a call. Because I know me. And I know you. Every one of us has the opportunity to walk away. Don't we? Every one of us has the opportunity to say, you know what, I'm done trying. I'd rather just do what everybody else is doing and enjoy my life. Eat, drink, and be merry. Are we faithful? So folks, I hope you consider this as an encouragement. We have been going on for a couple of months now about the mission of God and about the ability to disciple people, that we want to leave a legacy. Well, guys, as we're going out there reminding one another that just because you've asked Jesus Christ to be your Savior doesn't mean you're a follower, a disciple of Jesus. There's some serious things that need to come into play in our lives if we're going to be a disciple of Christ. It will cost. And we need to remind one another and keep our chins up, because sometimes when we're suffering for Jesus, we could use somebody to grab us by the arms, have been there, I'll walk with you for a little while. And then there's folks out in this world, maybe they don't know Jesus, maybe they do, but they've never stepped up and made a commitment to be a follower of Jesus. Remember what Jesus said? You're blessed if you do them, not just if you've heard them. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. Lord, what a privilege. We do not deserve any of this. Father, we every single one of us deserve hell because of our sins. But Lord, you made a way for us to remove the penalty of sin. But Father, that's not all what you wanted for us. You didn't want us to get just out of the red into the black, right at zero. You wanted to give us the positive. We get to be disciples, followers. Lord, we get to have our lives changed by you. But it doesn't come by being a freeloader. We can't just sit around and do nothing and expect it to happen. There's a cost. And so, Father, it might be that there's some things we need to forsake. Father, it might be that there are too many other things that are in preeminence in our lives except you. Father, maybe it's just an encouragement this morning to stick by the stuff that we need to be faithful. That no matter how hard the struggles get, no matter what the devil whispers in our ear, that we don't quit. That we be strong. The Father, we fight the fight. We finish. So, Father, please. And, Lord, I'm not only asking this because it's a sermon that we can preach to believers. I'm asking this of my family. Lord, there will be days that I want to quit. There will be days that I'm dragging. that, Father, maybe I'm not forsaking the things I should. That, Lord, something else is in the preeminence of my life, and I need faithful men, faithful women in my life that can nudge me in the right direction. We all do. Father, thank you that we're not in this by ourselves, that this is not a one-man show. And so, Father, I just thank you. Lord, help us to understand the absolute amazing impact we can have being a disciple of Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.